Hello,
Welcome again to another video spiritual teaching. We are once again in the School of Light. I am working my way through all that's on the website. So I am taking what I wrote, making a video of each section. We are in the Kingdom of Agape Love section, volume 1. And on the sidebar, we are in the section called A Father's Heart, Desires, and Prophetic Words. This section provides for you the scripture foundation that helped Pastor Deborah to help people the Lord's way. It is Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62. But before we get into this lesson, lesson number 4 of verse 6, I want to welcome everybody. We are here today out in the Garden of Eden, in the realm of the Spirit. You have been brought here, as I can see, as far as I can see, out of your dreams, out of your physical body. Maybe you're at work, or you're out on the street doing business, or maybe you're in a brothel and you're being sexually abused, or you are the sexual abuser, a man, or even a woman. You could even be in the womb of a woman. You might be in your madrasas. You might be at your prayer times. And you hear me and see me because you've been taken out of your body physically. Not by Pastor Deborah or any witchcraft, but by the Spirit of the God of Israel, the God of heaven and earth himself. That's right. He has that power to do that. I don't, but he does, and he desires to meet you and talk with you and teach you, for all of his words to you are spirit, for your spirit, and they are life to your spirit. They are nourishing food and drink that will help your spirit to grow and change, and then from that place, your spirit transfers and transforms your soul. For your soul is in a mess. Your soul was developed by culture and darkness and ignorance. Maybe by the faith or the religion you believe in. Or by abuse, neglect. Or by the country. Who knows? But the soul is a mess. And that soul then directs your physical body to do things or not to do things. So we're here in the realm of the Spirit, in the Garden of Eden. The word Eden and garden are precious words. It's a secret place, a spiritual place guarded by a fiery sword and a cherubim. That's an angel. It's for your spirit. It's here on earth. It's not in heaven. It's protected. It's a place of God's presence. The God of Israel, the God of David, the God of Christ Jesus himself, his Father. It's a place of his presence and delight where he teaches you, meets with you, helps you to understand yourself, others, and his word better. And when you understand his word better, you understand him. If you understand him and you learn his image and his likeness, you'll learn about yourself. And you will learn about all other humans as well. So welcome. Welcome. I'm Pastor Deborah. And we are here teaching you today. Oh, I'm not alone. His spirit is in me. His spirit is writing through my words. And he is anointing them with his life, for your spirit, so that your spirit can hear and see him and his words of light and life for you. So welcome. Yes, we're beginning part number 4. We had started working in verse number 6 of Isaiah 61. And after I read it, I got asked by a precious one, how did I find the entrance into the Garden of Eden? And I had been working through how I got there. Because before I found it, I used to have a teepee, sort of a tent, like the Bedouins of Arabia and Abraham lived in. Because I used to get so angry at you guys, people I was trying to help, witches, Satanists, even people of faith. And my emotions and my soul and my spirit were upset and angry. And I knew I could not go into the presence of God that way. So I asked him to give me a tent so I could go into it and cry and be angry. And when I was finished with all that, then I would go into his presence. I actually have a teepee, a little model, because it reminds me that I had a time in my life when my emotions of my soul, which spread into my spirit, because I had not yet had a Hebrews 4:12, which separated my soul and my spirit by the word of God. My spirit was still so much one with my soul. When my soul got upset, angry and mad at people I was trying to help, it went into my spirit, and my spirit was not right. And I knew not to go into the presence of God that way. So he gave me a place to sort of calm down, rest. Because I was weary spiritually. Because trying to help you people can be very dangerous, life-threatening. Many of the people I was working with were always on assignment against me. To kill me, take me down, get me in compromising situations. They loved me and they hated me. They were people of another faith, Satanism, witchcraft. They moved in the dark stuff. They moved unseen. They had multiple personalities. And I had to look beyond all that to the spirit and see how tortured it had been and how abused it was. And how it had split into multiple personalities. Because I learned in the Bible that as you think in your heart, whatever that thought is in your mind, so you are. These were horribly abused people. And I had become a threat. I didn't know it. But getting in God's presence, trying to help him, to have his father's heart's desires and prophetic words fulfilled down here on planet Earth, pitted me against Satan himself, all his demonic kingdoms, his principalities, his powers, his people, and his kingdom. So I was attacked a lot, got in trouble at church a lot, was loved and hated, family attacked. It was hard times. And so I had my teepee, like Abraham, for my spirit to go into. That was all I had. But I did not know that through my studying and my continual walking with the Lord, I was on a journey to find an entrance to something I did not know was here. And we're going to pick up now in this lesson. But first, let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those you have brought here today And you will bring in the future to hear your words of spirit, of love, and light. And that your Father's heart and your desires and your prophetic words will be fulfilled in their lives spiritually through the power of the Holy Spirit, your Son, who is your living word, and through the teachings, and that you help me to be a messenger of you in righteousness and truth. Father, we need your help. We need for you to unblind the blinded eyes, to make the deaf ears to hear, the minds to become alert and aware. Pull them out of their trances. Wake them up, Father, from their deep sleeps of fear and escape, and help them to hear you and your love for them. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Let's go back to Isaiah 61, verse number 6, where we were. I'll review it for you. Let me get that for you, okay? I'm going to be reading it to you right out of the Bible. So if my eyes look down, you'll know I'm looking at the Bible. I use the Authorized King James Version. It's one with no commentaries of any denomination. It's just the translated words of Hebrew, Greek, maybe Aramaic, into English. Now, in your language, it might have a little slight deviation from the words. That's okay. God will help you if you're reading it. If you don't have a Bible to read, there's a lot on YouTube for free. I have an audio and visual Bible on the website of www.agapeloveishere.org. And if you do not have internet service, or you can't go to a cafe, or you don't have a phone, God will teach you in dreams and visions, through nature, through circumstances. He will not leave you without knowledge. He will have somebody come to you, teach you. But if you can get a Bible, even online, on your phone, in your own language, that's great. But here in the Spirit, even though all of you spirits speak different languages, you will hear your language in your language. You will hear me talking, but you will hear it in the language you understand. And that's God's work, not mine. All right, Isaiah 61, verse 6. This is just a little review and reminder where we were in this school of light, a father's heart, desires, and prophetic words. Verse 6. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. A priest is someone who prays for other people, brings their sins to the Lord, applies the mercy and forgiveness of the cross. He's also one who has direct communication with, relationship with, the Lord of the Bible. He's called a priest, and he says, all humanity will be a priest unto me, and enter into my holy of holies, my deep place of intimacy and communication. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Some people believe that means money and buildings, but that's not what it means. It means something else. We have to look, study, to find that one out. And in their glory, the Gentiles, shall you boast yourselves. The Gentiles typically were ruling the nations. They were the rulers, the kings. They had leadership over many things. They were shepherds. And he is saying, you too will get there. So then somebody had asked in the audience out here in the garden, how did I find the entrance to the Garden of Eden, where we are right now today, and where I sleep in every night, and where people come to me? And in this presence, this Garden of Eden, is the very presence, the delight, and the joy of God Himself. He is here all the time. Teaching is always going on, healing, deliverances, getting to know and learn how to spiritually live in the garden, in the very presence of God. Most of you can't last very long in this presence. It's powerful. It's full of glory and light. You can only take it for a little while. Then most of you just going to pass right on out and lay out in the grass. And a flower is going to watch over you. Or an animal is going to sit next to you, keep an eye on you. Because the presence is powerful. And while you're out under the presence of God, Pastor Deborah did it all the time, still does. God will do healing on your spirit, do deliverance on your spirit, wash it and clean it of all the filth, and get that ick, the concepts and ideas and thoughts out of you, clean you up, so you will be a righteous spirit that can hear Him, that can see Him, that can talk to Him, that's no longer lame, that's no longer tormented by the old life. Yeah. But one thing you have to learn about this God in understanding how Deborah, Pastor Deborah, me, found the entrance. Everything God does, He has it hidden away for you. Many do not seek His truth, His information. They just want to be entertained in the world. They don't care. They don't even think about Him. They're thinking about other things. So if you're not a seeking person, and even if you are, things are hidden from you. So you have to become an archaeologist. You have to dig into the past and in through the dirt. Then you get there and you find writings on the wall and you can't understand it. And you have to learn. So let me show you what that looks like. Okay? We're going to go to another scripture. It's Proverbs 25:2. I'm going to read it to you. These were the Proverbs of King Solomon, who was the son of King David of Israel. King Solomon had been given lots of wisdom. He did ask for it, because he needed wisdom to rule and lead and shepherd the nation of Israel. And he recognized he didn't have it. So in prayers to God, he asked for it. Asked for the wisdom to guide his people. Some people think we're not supposed to be a king or a ruler over people, but we are. We see that in a mother-child relationship. The mother gives birth. She raises it, teaches it, disciplines it, talks to it, loves it, has a deep relationship with the child, preparing it for the world, guiding it by wisdom and knowledge, helping it to know right from wrong. That is what King Solomon was to be. You'll hear that in a lot of kings and queens, that they are the mother or the father of the nation. And most people are looking for that. Some nations who had a king and no longer have it are seeking a father figure, a father of the nation that they can feel protected by and that they can love. Most kings and queens used to do this, but they got very corrupt and they didn't understand their role. Some did. One early Queen Elizabeth I. They call her the Virgin Queen. She wasn't a virgin. She never married and never had any children. So when she got crowned, she came out as the Virgin Queen, and her children were the people of the nation, the Empire of England and Britain. She was the mother. She was the protector, the provider, and she had council members who were to help her be a righteous mother. She looked at the nation to serve it as her duty and honor. And she even gave up her normal life as a woman, even though she had the desires to have a family and be loved by a man. Most of the men only wanted to marry her so they could become king and rule over her, the nation. So she was always torn between the love of a man, a relationship, and being the mother of a nation. A lot of kings and queens do make the powerful decision to give themselves totally to their nation. They even give up their family to others to raise because they have honor and duty. When you are at that level, your family comes second. This is where a lot of pastors have difficulties because they're always saying, does God come first, then the church, then my family? Or does my family come first, then God, then the church? And they go round and round and round and round about this. If you look back, when you're called to be the shepherd, like King David, or a judge, or a ruler of a nation, your family takes back seat. All your mind and your will and your thoughts are on the nation. For the nation needs you as a shepherd. You're not to have other lives. You're not to have pleasure and sex and do a lot of other things. Your children will suffer. Your spouse will suffer. You are set apart as a leader. It's a lonely place. It's a relationship with multitudes of people that you'll really never get to know. But Queen Elizabeth I, she took that on, and the nation became her children. And she would feel for them, all of them. So King David didn't learn that very well. He always wanted more love from women, love that was not his to have, Bathsheba. Then King Solomon came along, and he was told you weren't to have all these other women. But he did, because he was also a creature, not yet born again, and he was still a creature of sex and the body and wanted pleasure. When you're at the top, that does not occur in your life. Sex goes out the door. Your only pleasure is to see your nation, the next generation, the babies grow and develop, be strong, protect them with your military. Not other nations, but yours. Some people forget that, and they put their citizens who voted them in on the back seat. Some people put other people from other nations above their own citizens. Now, if you're called to be a global, worldwide leader of the entire world, Pastor Deborah is, then all humans are your children. And you have to learn to teach all of them how to be good people, not to break laws. You don't favor one over the other. But in the world that we all live in, we have citizens that were born or came through the righteous doorways, applied for citizenship, but many countries allow others to take center stage. They don't have to follow the same rules as the citizens. Some people hate their citizens and want to change the complexity of the nation for power, to stay in power, to be voted. Some people are doing it for many different reasons, but there's only one: to take down Christ Jesus in the heart of a nation, to stop people praying to him, going to his churches. The battle was always between Satan's people and the Most High God's people. It is between truth and ignorance, righteous ways and unrighteous ways. That's the battle. So, in just a minute, we will read Proverbs 25:2. All right, and we will get started. I'm back. I had taken a lunch break, so if I look a little different or my hair looks a little different, it's because I just finished lunch. But I'm back now, and we're going to pick up where we had left off. We're going to read Proverbs 25:2, so that you will know that there are many things you must search for that are hidden from you. And God does this purposely to check you out. So let's read Proverbs 25:2, written by King Solomon. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter or a thing. But it is the honor of kings, that's all of humanity, is to search out a matter, a thing. We learn that God hides things from us. And until you become a king who is seeking, searching, digging, wanting to know the truth, things that you kind of go, something's not right with that. What is it? What's really going on with all this politics and the wars? What's really going on in the realm of the spirit? Some people know, others don't. But there's always still a hidden thing that's covered. And God does that to protect himself and you. Because he says if you go seeking and you do find it, he's obligated to reveal it to you. But if you're not seeking it and you just want to be entertained, you really don't care, you're not open to suggestions, you're not open to new ideas or concepts, then he has to keep the truth hidden from you. People don't want to know the truth. They don't want to look and see what's really going on, what the motives are behind words or deeds or people. No. Live and be entertained. Have fun. Have pleasures. They don't want to see the ick and the dirt, all the evil. They just want to turn away. And then those that do look, they call it a different name, mental illness. Just the way the world is. Can't fix it. No problems to solve. Oh, let's change terms. Let's be nice and stuff. So you have to learn to be a seeker, a king. That means that you have found out you're a ruler and a leader. And you must go searching to learn answers. You must be a reader. Nowadays, you can watch on YouTube and learn history, documentaries. But you must be a learner, one who desires to know and is not satisfied with what you do know. Or just following somebody else's vision. You must study for yourself. So Pastor Deborah got that early. I became a seeker of knowledge and truth, looking what was under those black letters in the Bible. What was the real meaning behind the word? I knew things were hidden, but I didn't know how to find them. So I would pray for God to reveal them to me any way He chose. Movies. I get a lot through movies. Fairy tales. Aesop's fable. Nature. The animal kingdom. The plant kingdom. The solar system. Science fiction. History. Documentaries. I'm always reading, looking, wanting to know truth and how it applies to me today, to the world we're in, and to people. So you get there. Okay? Pastor Deborah got there. That was like sort of step one of this journey to find the entrance to the garden. Now we're going to go to 2 Peter 1 through 11. We had been working through that and we had finished up verse 4. Little did I know when I am seeking truth, trying to find out answers, how to help people, how to help the Father with His desires with people, learning His desires, seeing His prophetic words for all of humanity. Little did I know I was on a journey to finding the entrance and becoming the shepherd of the Garden of Eden. Didn't know it at the time. Didn't know I was doing that. Didn't know I was looking for it. But afterwards, God showed me the journey I was on, the seeking that I was doing, and what I had done, and how He could have the entrance ministered unto me, for I was ready. So let's go to 2 Peter 1 through 11. In the last one, number 3, we had finished up with verse 4. We'll pick up here with verse 5. If you see me looking down every once in a while, I have my Bible in my lap because it doesn't quite fit up here on the laptop because I have other notes. I'm going to back up. What was happening? We were told in a letter by Peter, his second letter, and he was telling us that there were some wonderful, great, and exceeding promises for us to receive. And he said, and Peter told us that this God would give us His divine power so that we could find these things that pertained unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So we had to study Him. And that called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 told us that we were given these exceedingly great promises, precious ones, by prophetic words of a Father's heart and desires, so that we could be partakers of the divine nature that was His. And when we did that, having partook of His divine nature, we would spiritually escape the corruption that is in this world here on planet Earth through lust. What we learned right there was corruption is on the earth. It's in people. It's in nature. It's in the systems that humans create. It's in the human heart. And it comes out from the roots of lust, a fiery, unquenchable burning desire for something that you cannot have, should not have, can never be fulfilled. It's a fire that burns eternal. You always want more, more, more. Never satisfied. Always will take and steal and rob and kill. It's a biological system. Chemicals and hormones, it's mental thoughts, And not only of the biological body, but of the heart and the mind and of the spirit. So we are told that when we seek a Father's heart, His desires and prophetic words for us, we will find Him, His nature for us. And by partaking in His nature, we will escape that corruption in this world that comes by lust, because we will have His nature within us. Then on to verse number 5, which we're going to pick up with today. And verse 5 is this. As you can see my Bible here. Verse 5 is this. I'm going to look down. And besides this, escaping the corruption in this world, through the knowledge of Him, Peter is telling, and giving all diligence to seeking that knowledge, learning about Him, learning the Father's heart for us, His desires and prophetic words, adding to all this godliness we're receiving, this nature of His, Peter's telling us we still need to do some things, that we need to add something to all that we've already been doing. We need to add to our faith, that means our belief, our trust in, our understanding. Of faith, that means our belief in Him. We need to add virtue. Oh, what is virtue? Well, let's go to the dictionary and find out. Virtue is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as 1. A conformity to a standard or righteousness. What is moral and right? Number 2, a particular moral excellence. Number 3, a beneficial quality or power of a thing. Number 4, strength or courage, honor. Number 5, merit. Number 6, a capacity in behavior. So we're to add virtue. So we are told here in 2 Peter, verse number 5, we're to add to our faith, our understanding, our belief of a Father's heart, desires, and prophetic words, virtue. So something has to still be added to you. Now, when I'm on this journey, I didn't know this, but I was reading the scriptures, and sometimes you will read them, and you won't know that you are doing them or they are leading you. But you see, you have to learn, you look at each word, you go slow. So Peter is telling us we have to do some things, not only have knowledge of the Father, that will help us to escape the corruption in this world that comes from the root of lust. But we will have godliness and we will start understanding Him, and that will help us to understand ourselves. Then he goes on and says more in verse 5. And he says, and to virtue that we just talked about, we need to add something else. We need to add knowledge. What? You still don't have enough truth and knowledge? When you become a seeker, you're always looking. There's languages you must study. There's artifacts that you must look at that you don't understand. There's discoveries to be made. You have to look into the past. Study ancient civilizations. Study their writings and communications. So we are told here we must add knowledge. That's information. We must become educated. not about worldly things, but you will learn about them, like we just learned that through the root of lust, in the spirit, soul, and physical body, corruption comes. And we see it all in the world through people and how they treat nature and business and systems and people. It is corrupt. We hear it, we talk about it, but we have no idea where it really comes from. So let's turn and see what the word knowledge is defined as. In the Webster's Dictionary, it's defined as awareness. Number two, to be aware of something, familiar with something through experience. Three, the range of one's knowledge of information and things. Four, the sum of what one knows as truth or fact. Knowledge is also defined as one's reasoning due to knowledge of traits based on experience and education. These scriptures, this part of verse number 5, takes us off to 1 Peter 3:7. It's going to help us to understand a little deeper. Verse 7, there is a deep spiritual word of one's spirit and soul, we're told. Likewise, were you a husband that is represented by the Spirit, that part of us that lives on forever, called the forever person. He will dwell and live with them, we're told in 1 Peter 3:7. With your wives, that means your soul and your physical body. Your soul has many different compartments, components that make up the helpmate. That is to be the wife of the Spirit. The Spirit's to be the husband. Remember, we're trying to understand Pastor Deborah's journey to find the entrance to the Garden of Eden, where we are today, where Pastor Deborah's the shepherd of, where we are in God's presence spiritually on earth in our dreams. It's hidden away from us most of the time. But Pastor Deborah had the entrance administered to her after she went on this long journey. The Father was helping me. I was a seeker. I was learning. Didn't know where I was going, but I knew I had to grow up. I had to have knowledge. I knew God was in a hurry to help people His way. I think I knew I was to be a teacher and be in front of people. Didn't know how. I didn't know the model I was to use. Tried community volunteering, didn't work. Tried going in a church, didn't work. Tried being to get accepted and invited to speaking conferences, didn't work. But God eventually led me and guided me to this way on YouTube and to podcast out the audio. Things were changing. God was moving outside of the buildings. He is not restricted to a certain time of day, a certain hour, a certain person, a certain building, a certain city. He's not restricted by television or radio or satellite. He will use all those means. But He is preparing and helping Pastor Deborah to bring forth out of me Himself, His heart, His desires, and prophetic words. So long after I have left planet Earth and YouTube continues and the podcast shows, these words of truth and knowledge will be there for you. Long after I'm gone, it's sort of like books. They just keep traveling. YouTube is a wonderful platform to be on. It's very helpful. It is free to do this. Television, I would maybe would have liked to have been on it. Costs money. There's time frames to what you do. A lot of restrictions. And it also can't go everywhere. YouTube is limitless into the nations and the people. And you can send the videos everywhere. So this particular scripture, 1 Peter 3:7, was going to explain something to me about myself and about God and about you. And it's basically, it's a deep spiritual teaching of husbands and wives, spirit and its helpmate, the soul. So it says, likewise, you husband, that's the spirit part of us, dwell and live with them, your wives, all the parts of your soul and your physical body, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. My spirit is to honor my soul, respect it, say that it is the weaker vessel. It does not have direct contact spiritually to God. It has to come from the husband. You see that in many faith and religions where the husband is to teach his wife. That is a pattern of the spirit teaching the soul. The soul hears words of flesh, but it does not change the soul. Only this husband, the spirit part of us, has been given the authority, the power, the knowledge, and the light to help its wife, the soul, and the physical body to learn and grow. God, I learned this Father starts deep on the inside of the spirit, has a relationship with it, teaches it, and then the spirit is to step up as a one who will teach, transfer, explain to the soul, lead it, and help it. And I'll show you how that works. Some time ago, one of my feral cats got hit by a car and died. I was there to say goodbye to it, pet it. It hurt all through the night. I didn't know if it lived or died. For 2 days, my soul was sad. It hurt. My soul had lost something it loved. My spirit had to step up. I put some blinders on my eyes so I could not see, even at nighttime. My spirit stepped up to my soul and said, soul, you're not going to sit in this sorrow anymore. You're going to come with me, and we together are going to go up into the presence of God. We're going to praise God. We are going to rejoice in God our Savior. Come with me. Don't sit in your ashes and dust of sorrow anymore. The spirit had to go get its own soul and take it with it to the throne room of God. An inner thing was going on inside Pastor Deborah. So 1 Peter here is telling us that our spirit must do the same thing. It's seen as the husband of the soul, the wife. And it says we must give honor unto our soul, our wife, as the weaker vessel. The soul spiritually is weaker than the spirit. The soul only gets it second hand. And it needs a lot of transformation from the spirit. The spirit has to overcome all from the world, the concepts, the ideas, the thoughts, the culture, families, everything the soul's eyes see, hands touch, all of its training and education. The spirit has a great work to do, and it must honor its soul as the weaker vessel in spiritual things. So it goes on here in 1 Peter 3:7. We're to honor our soul, our wife. It's a relationship. It's not male or female, because the spirit's a non-gender. The soul is non-gender. But God was teaching Pastor Deborah this relationship. He was using something of the earthly nature we could understand about relationships between two things, two people, sort of. And it goes on and says that as also the soul is an heir, a recipient of the everlasting covenant, that divine nature, the rebirth from death. And together, it says, with you, O spiritual being, man, the husband, of the grace of God and his love of life. So the spirit has to look at its soul and say, you too are a recipient of the Father's heart, his desires and prophetic words. This is how Deborah was learning and gathering knowledge and adding it to my spiritual, I don't know what, library. By these words broken out, studying relationships, I was learning. I didn't know where I was going, remember? So we are told here in this 1 Peter 3:7 that so that our spirit, he's saying when your spirit honors your soul, and the spirit acts as the husband to its wife, the soul. If you go back into Genesis, you will see marriage relationships between these two parts are a pattern to study. And then you have to be able to take it into the spiritual realm of spirit and soul. Okay? Now, the spirit does not have a physical body, but it can feel through it. I've had other human spirits come in cats, come in husband, wanting to have sex with me so they could feel it. Strange world, the spirit realm. And I was studying it, because that's where the Father's heart was, and his desires and prophetic words. Because we were told in the book of John, in the four Gospels, Jesus was talking to a wonderful lady at a well in Samaria, that God is a spirit, and he is seeking, desiring to have spirits worship him in spirit and in truth, knowing who he is. God's after your spirit. That's his object. That's the object of Satan, the spirit. That is the part that has the everlasting covenant. That's the part that will live on after this earthly body dies. That's the part that's here in the garden, the spirit part of us. So he is saying when you honor your soul, you help it. You help to teach it and train it. You help it to discover what you have discovered. You help it to also be an heir, the everlasting covenant, by adding knowledge to you spiritually. And when you do this, we're told here, so that spirit man, that when you pray as a priest, you petition this God of spirits, your prayers, your petitions, your relationship to him is not blocked. It is not hindered in any way. That's right. So I was beginning to learn that many human spirits' relationship was not correct with their soul. And in most churches, they're only teaching to the soul. The words are not anointed of God. They're dead. They produce no change. Because when the people leave, they keep voting for those who believe in killing babies. They're more important of who their political party is. More interested in entertainment or secret societies, being a part of other things, following their rules, following an employer's rules. Even though they came to church, gave tithes, maybe volunteered, gave out food, when they're away from there, their lives are different. So their prayers are blocked. Their relationship to this God of the Father's heart, desires, and prophetic word is hindered and blocked. Their soul is an abused woman, an adulterer. She becomes left out. The husband, the spirit's an adulterer to its own soul. Does not help it. It is not a seeking and a virtuous spirit. And it cannot help its own soul or physical body. So this was how I was beginning my journey somewhere. All I knew that God was in a hurry to help people. He wanted to use me. I knew nothing. I was coming out of being a licensed clinical mental health counselor. Knew nothing of the way of helping people the Lord's way. The initial patterns I had was get ordained in a denomination, get on staff in a church, work in a jail, be an evangelist, preach on Sunday morning, do a Bible study, be in full-time employment. That was all. And none of that fit with me. But that was the only pattern I had. But God can use anybody, any situation, if they have knowledge, if they are willing to learn about Him, if they will obey Him. Many times God would tell me, don't pick up that telephone. Get away from that person. Can't go back to that church. Then some I'd be kicked out of. And I couldn't get mad because God, I had to learn, cared more about me and Him as in a relationship. He could see far off down the road. He could see the plans of the enemy. And He had to know that I would obey Him. Even if I didn't like it, I was mad, made me sad. God was working through my life, through people, through circumstances. I was reading, watching movies. Did you know for 5 years, every Sunday morning, for 3 hours, I watched the movie on YouTube or a DVD, The Gospel of John, over and over and over, no matter where I went, 5 years. Then after that, you'll see the story on the website called The Garden Hose. I was going to be tested. Satan knew I watched it. And in there, God says, my sheep know my voice. And they will run away from, and they won't listen nor obey, another's voice. Satan wanted to prove to God that I was not one of God's sheep, but His. That was in the movie. So one day I'm outside, and I'm watering. It's getting dark. It's going to storm. And I said, God, it would be great if it rained. I'd get a blessing. I don't have to water. I could sit down and watch You water the grass in the garden. So I heard this voice. It sounded pleasant, not angry, not mean or evil. Put down the garden hose, and I will water the garden and give you a blessing. Something like that. I said, praise the Lord. So I turned off the water, sat down on my screen porch, waiting for the blessing of rain to come. 2.5 hours later, no rain. I go, what is going on? That wasn't God. I didn't do the test of trying the spirits that John told us to do. Because he said, you try every spirit that you hear or see. Because many spirits of Antichrist have gone out into the world. There was a test. If you tried that spirit's voice that spoke to you, and it could not say that it served the Lord God Most High, who sent his Son in the flesh, who walked on the earth 33 years, went to a cross, died, got lifted up, raised up out of the tomb, and now sits on the right hand of the Father. If that spirit could not confess that, then it was not of God. I didn't do the test. I just had a nice voice. And once God gave me time to figure it out. He held Satan up from the courtroom. I repented for the sin of not following the word and being obedient and trying the spirits. According to 1 John 4, 1 through 3 of the New Testament, I missed it. I just assumed it was God. It was a nice voice. So I repented, and God wiped that away, all the evidence. Then Satan came and he allowed me to hear and see Satan in the courtroom to the judge, presenting his evidence to prove to the judge of the universe, God himself, that Pastor Deborah was not one of his sheep, because I listened to and followed another voice, and I did not do the test. Because Satan had plans if you were not one of God's sheep. He was trying to get God to say, yeah, you're right, Satan. She didn't do it. She's yours. She's not mine. And when you get further along with God and you get a lot of revelations, these tests are going to come. So, Satan went into the courtroom. And God says, where is your evidence? He says, I got the video, got the audio. Let me play it for you. And he turns on the video. Remember, you're always being videotaped. Pastor Deborah's been under satellites, phones tapped. Every word you say, everything you buy, the enemy is watching. So Satan's getting ready to present his evidence that Pastor Deborah was not one of God's sheep by what I did. I followed his voice. Now Satan knew it was his voice. It was one of him or himself. So Satan had a videotape that was showing him talking to me talking to him spiritually. Because most of the time you'll never hear me out talking. I do a lot of work with my mouth shut in the spirit. So he goes to play the video and it's blank. There's no sound, there's no picture. There's not even me sitting on the porch. Just blank, erased. And Satan goes, it's gone, where is it? And the God of the universe says, what do you mean? There's no evidence of what you're trying to accuse Pastor Deborah of. See, when I repented, God washed away all the evidence, erased it, threw it all in the sea of forgetfulness, didn't exist anymore. Never happened. There was no evidence for Satan to show the judge to prove what had happened. Learned a valuable lesson. Satan will take on the voice of God. Demons will become your ancestors. Mm-hmm. Talk through animals. Talk through religious leaders. Through prophets. There's this one person that said that they sort of was born hearing God's voice. Going into the spirit. And God told me they got a familiar spirit. Because mama, three or four generations back, that's what they did. They had that connection to the occult, but this person doesn't know it. And they lead thousands and thousands of God's people astray. They prophesy things that don't come true. And then they make excuses. Because God's people don't hear God's voice themselves. Because they don't have this relationship with the Father and his heart and his desires, as Pastor Deborah was seeking, trying to have. I didn't know I was going to get to the Garden of Eden. That wasn't even in my thought. But I was proceeding on the path right there So I want to end here to show you just one little thing that God desires to help you with, that's waiting for you. If you get the pattern, the relationship with Him, with Him, His heart, His desires, and you understand His words of Isaiah 61 and 62. Then you get this relationship within yourself, your spirit and soul and physical body in order. The spirit becomes the husband. It gets the information. It speaks and honors its soul, recognizing it's the weaker part of us, and it is influenced by the world out here. And the physical body was created to be sort of instinctual, hormones and chemicals, and to either feel pain or seek pleasure to survive. And this system inside here, God is saying, we must work with, but He's working first with the spirit, helping it to grow and learn and understand, have experiences and knowledge, adding things to its knowledge and its awareness, and then teaching the spirit to look at its own soul, that it's a mess, it needs complete, it needs to die, the old. And you can read that in my story called It's Time, how I had been in my soul decided to be Jan in the fifth grade. All bad things happened to Jan. But one day, you'll read in there, when God said, it's time, I knew it was time for Jan to die. I was going to lay in a bed in my son's home. I was taken to a satanic meeting, put inside the body of a woman. A knife was coming down, and as the tip of the blade hit the physical body of the woman with me in it, it started dissolving. And God said, you cannot kill that spirit in there, Deborah. That is not Jan. Jan had died a long time ago. The story's in there. When she volunteered to go to the cross and be crucified to save just one multi-generational Satanist, she died then. Jan did. Deborah got birthed as a new creature, even though I was already saved. But the identity of a king, a mighty one, had come alive. Great story called It's Time. I was going through all of this on this road someplace, trying to learn how to help people the Lord's way. Little did I know that I was heading down a road to an entrance to the Garden of Eden, and how important that was going to be, not only in my life, in God's life, and in your life. And I finally kept walking. Wasn't easy through the years, between family and relatives dying, having to go to nursing homes, dying in my living room right over there with cancer, having people live with us trying to kill me and my husband, stealing from us, being accused of all kinds of stuff. I kept going. It was hard, but I kept going. I didn't know where I was going to end up, but here I am in the garden. We're going to pick up with this continued teaching in the next lesson. There's a great explanation from Job I want to get to that will be like a companion to this one. And that will be in part number 4 of this journey to the entrance of the Garden of Eden. Love, before we go, is there anybody here that would like to also get on this same road that Pastor Deborah traveled on? Oh my gosh, all the hands are up. Father, those that have raised their hands and even those who have not, you know their heart. Help them to get on this same road that Pastor Deborah was on. Use everything within your power to help them to see and hear and understand this journey. Help them to become mighty shepherds of the garden also, mighty kings on the earth that you can work with. Help them to understand this relationship between spirit and their soul. Help them to know there's an everlasting covenant for both of them. And help them to see the patterns of relationships. And most of all, to learn about you. And to add knowledge and virtue to themselves from you, from your image and your likeness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Father, do your work. This is what you brought them here to do. So we ask you to be about your work and your business. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I'll see you on the next test, the School of Light, an educational series. We're working through, I think we are in volume 1 of Prayer and Fasting. It's on the website. We're in the side section called A Father's Heart, Desires and Prophetic Words. It's dealing with Isaiah 61. Go read it. And we got stuck here, I think, in verse number 5 or 6. Can't remember when somebody asked me. So I'm explaining to you, and then we'll get back to Isaiah 61 and keep working through all the stories that are on the website in the Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1, Prayer and Fasting. Then all the true stories of the people I helped in Volume 2 of Prayer and Fasting. Lot to do, but you stay steady and I love you. See you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually the Lord's way for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at pastordeborah@agapelovishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.